Public News Service Friday Afternoon Update. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Virginia, where a new law protects residents from utility shutoffs in extreme weather.
The law prevents utility company shutoffs when temperatures are at or below 32 degrees and at or above 92 degrees. It also prevents shutoffs during states of emergency in response to public health emergencies. Virginia was one of 34 states with a shutoff moratorium during the pandemic. Kaja Foskey with the Virginia Poverty Law Center says enacting this law cleared up some misconceptions.
Most folks already thought that utilities couldn't shut them off on a day where it was too hot or too cold outside. So what we've really done is just created some common sense foundational protection so that all utility customers across the state know what their rights are.
Despite having some of these shutoff guidelines as unwritten rules, utility companies pushed back, saying it didn't allow them flexibility. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
More than 750,000 Virginia families are energy cost burdened, meaning they spend 6% of their income on utility bills. And in response to an alarmingly high number of suicides among construction workers, Michigan's construction leaders have taken measures to tackle mental health and provide support for the workforce.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration reports in 2022, the industry saw 6,000 worker suicides compared to 1,000 construction-related deaths in the workplace. People in construction trades can face job and financial insecurities, long hours, and difficult working conditions. Sean Egan with the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity says one of the things they're doing to help workers handle the stress is making it okay to not be okay.
We know that construction is a male-dominated industry, and that's specifically men of color, but men in general are not likely to seek support. So we have to make it okay to seek that support.
Egan says his department has implemented mental health-related programs and events for Michigan construction workers, including seminars for Construction Suicide Prevention Week. Crystal Blair reporting.
Next from CNN, 500,000 Houston-area homes and businesses may not have their power restored until next week amid sweltering summer heat, even as many in the region struggle to access fresh food, air conditioning, and safe drinking water. Meantime, health experts are urging folks to stay hydrated and stay out of the sun during peak periods during this heat wave that is gripping much of the U.S. Dr. Rob Tagger with the American Academy of Pediatrics in Kentucky says noticeable symptoms of dehydration or heat stroke can include irritability, lethargy, or fuzziness in toddlers. He explains it's important to ensure small children stay hydrated.
I always tell adults that are taking care of kids and toddlers that, if you're uncomfortable, the child is much more uncomfortable than you with regard to temperature.
The CDC says older adults, young children, and people with chronic diseases are at the highest risk for heat-related illness. This is Public News Service. And this month, Minnesotans have a chance to share their thoughts on how the state should distribute home energy rebates.
Starting July 17th, the Commerce Department will host a series of public hearings on rebates funded through the Inflation Reduction Act. The department's Mia Naseth-Phillips says this aid can help eligible households get appliances and heating and cooling systems that reduce their energy burden. She says they especially want to reach people who otherwise couldn't afford emerging technologies that make a home's carbon footprint smaller.
And that becomes a repeated theme that I'm having a hard time paying my bills. How can I have something that is continually combating the high costs of energy use?
Officials say a challenge is creating a robust network of certified contractors trained for specific installations. A list of the hearing sites and times is on the Commerce Department website.
Remaining events across the state include St. Cloud, Falls, and Duluth. Meantime, the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency is awarding $271,000 in grants for environmental education projects across the state.
The programs will teach people about wetlands, water quality, biodiversity, habitat restoration, and ways to maintain home drinking water and septic systems. One of the recipients, Black Swamp Conservancy, is getting nearly $35,000 to train teachers and provide educational materials for students. The Conservancy's Laura Rodriguez says this grant is important because it helps get kids and teachers outside and interested in nature.
Outdoor learning increases students' physical, mental, and their social health, as well as their overall academic performance. That also fosters this ethic of care. We're helping to raise that next generation of active citizens who understand the importance of taking care of our shared landscape.
Farah Siddiqui reporting.
And finally, from Arshentia Hudson, the state of North Carolina needs to increase its crisis response capacity for long-term success. That's according to a new report by the Mental Health Policy Group, known as Inseparable.
The report analyzes 988 crisis lifeline responses in every state and proposes improvements. One key area it says requires attention in North Carolina is the need for more crisis response mobile units and beds. Kelly Crosby with the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services acknowledges this challenge and says funding from the General Assembly is addressing the need.
So now we have 19 urgent cares opening across the state. And in the community crisis center space, we've added about 64 new beds for adults and 44 new beds for children.
North Carolina's 988 line receives around 8,000 calls monthly.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Remember, Enlist is supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.